And on item one, conference with labor negotiators, gave direction to staff. Item 3A and B, heard a report from council. Item 4, report from council. Item 5, the board approved the confidential minutes of May 14th and May 28th. The board will go back into closed session after our regular meeting ends and cover item 2, conference with real property negotiators. If you could all stand and join me in the pledge, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Can I have approval of the agenda, please?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve the agenda. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries. Public matters not on the agenda. Discussion items only. No action to be taken. Any person may address the board at this time upon any subject within the jurisdiction of the Amador County Board of Supervisors. However, any matter that requires action may be referred to staff and or committee for report and recommendation for possible action at a subsequent board meeting. There is a 3-minute limit per person. Is there any public comment at this time? None?
I have some, Mr. Chairman. Yes, first comment, I'd like to thank Caltrans for trimming some trees at Highway 1649. I brought to one of their representatives, Mr. Gedney's attention, that there appeared to be a public safety issue there with those branches. This time of year, branches aren't leaning down. They're basically blocking the vision to one of the lanes going to Sacramento. So you think, oh, yeah, you had a green light. They got closer, and you realize there's a second light that was red, and they got out there real quickly, and the job they did was quite commendable. Their workmanship was excellent. It was impressive, and I was happy. So I'd like to thank them for that. And then in the bad boys category here, or bad girls, whichever it is, I'd like to bring up about CalPERS. I'm looking through Comstock's magazine. It's an older issue, but I saved it. And we keep getting notices of our CalPERS rates going up and up and up and up. But I was looking at their building they have here, and it's one of the centerpieces of Tech Magnets, really. So it's kind of like the state-of-the-art building. Looking at the pictures, it looks like a pretty palatial digs. And let's see what it says about it. Location, CalPERS, or California Public Employees Retirement System Headquarters. An urban oasis in the heart of downtown Sacramento, the CalPERS headquarters offers its employees numerous indoor and outdoor spaces, including quiet, secluded gardens and multiple rooftop courtyards lined with bamboo and drought-tolerant native grasses. The headquarters complex uses massive glass atriums to bring in natural light and incorporate green inside and out. Synthetic bamboo and a meditation garden in the property's interior complement the building's bamboo floorings and walls. You look at this thing, I mean, it's an architectural masterpiece. But the problem I have is we're paying for it. I don't mind paying government employees a fair wage, and you need a decent working condition, but you don't need what I consider palatial digs. And I'm not very happy about it. And I guess Supervisors Boitano and Novelli one time were happened to be in the area, and they were quite impressed with it, too, I heard.
Yes, sir.
So that's my public comment.
All right. Thank you.
I'll comment on that. It is a beautiful building. Had a little time at the CSAC conference and walked down and had some questions for them down there. And it's a massive complex that even goes across the street. So it's really something to behold.
I'm sure it is.
And I got a report on CalPERS when we get to the CSAC annual meeting. So I'll give that at that point in time. It's not going up. I mean, it's not going down. It's going up. We're going to do a little smoothing for the next 30 years.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Supervisor Novelli, you have anything? Nope. Okay. All right, we'll go on to the consent agenda.
Make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Moved by Supervisor Ornato, second by Supervisor Plaz. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. And On to our regular agenda. Item 6, Human Resources Discussion and Possible Action Relative to Selection of the County of Amador 457B Plan Provider. This is a continued item from May 28, 2013. Gail Eiley or Diane, would you like to comment on this before we take any comments?
I don't think I have anything further to add that we haven't discussed last week. Well, let me add, throw this on. I did meet with SEIU yesterday. They did ask some good questions, particularly about the mapping of funds from one fund to the if we were to select a new provider. And there are some good questions that they asked, and I would like additional opportunity to hunt down some good answers, because there were questions, and I do understand the concerns that an employee, particularly one who is at the end of their career and getting close to retirement, would be concerned that they're going to be mapped into a fund that has got either a higher fee or lower returns. So it's a valid concern and an issue I'm still working on.
Also, I'd like to state for the record that a while back I had met with Mr. Mark Bentley. So, for the record.
You want to, Chuck, do you want to go over the apples-to-apples comparison very quickly?
I believe so.
Do we have additional copies of that? I don't have that in my packet. I just saw it.
I can share it.
Supervisor Boitano.
We can share. We can share.
All right.
I guess I'll disclose I also met with Mr. Bentley quite a while ago.
Been some time, yeah.
Several months ago. He tracked me down, finally caught me in the office.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to state that, too. Mr. Chairman, if possible, I'd like to ask Mr. Eiley a question, if possible.
Oh, your mic right around in front of you.
If possible, I'd like to ask Mr. Eiley a question. Chuck, do we know these entities that have county employees contribute to their programs, do we know a dollar figure or a percent figure on their income from the county employees?
As far as the what percentage of their the portfolio they've got is county employees?
Right.
I don't know that.
You have the sheet in front of you, Chuck?
No, I don't.
Okay,
I don't.
Well, basically what it said, and you guys don't have copies of it?
I got one.
Yes, I have it.
There was supposed to be additional copies.
Basically what it said is that under the annual asset fee, Great West would be zero. And I'll say this for the benefit of the providers, too, so you can correct me if anything's wrong, but under the annual asset fee, Great West would be zero. Mass Mutual would be 0.75%, reduced to 0.5% when the assets exceed $10 million. And ING would be 0.5%, reduced to 0.4% after 5 years. Under the surrender charge, Great West would be zero. Mass Mutual would be 5%, transitioning to 0% over 7 years, and ING would be zero. Under the contract term, Great West would be 5 years, Mass Mutual 7 years, ING zero. Local representative, Great West no, Mass Mutual yes, ING yes. And under the last three, it was a yes answer for all providers, Roth option yes, online access to account yes, and loan option yes. So instead of the 7 year, it'd be a 5 year term. Okay. So that should be correct under Mass Mutual for the contract term. And with that, Chuck, do you have anything else before we, I don't want to, go through the whole presentation again like we did last time. I know Supervisor Plaz was not here, so if you could provide as much information as you can.
And for the record, I was forwarded the recording of last meeting and listened to the entire recording and followed through the paperwork on that and have developed some questions of my own.
So why don't we go in the same order that we did last time? I think it was Great West, Mass Mutual, and ING, if that's okay with everyone. Sir.
Good morning. My name is Brian Beetz. I'm the regional director, client relationship director for Great West here in Northern California. And I'm responsible for all of our governmental business in Northern California, about 30 plans and about $1.2 billion of assets. As we stated in our last presentation to the Board of Supervisors, we priced the plan with a zero administrative fee. And we would completely remove the contingent deferred sales charge upon execution of a contract. The only thing on the summary that I would mention to you, where it says local representative, although Darren Wagaman, who has been the representative on the plan for over 10 years, does not live in Amador County, he is about, well, you can tell me, I'm thinking 30, 45 minutes away in Sacramento. He lives on the... What direction is off of Power Inn Road, so he's pretty direct up from Sacramento, so he's not a long ways away. The other thing that we quoted in our presentation is that currently you're in our variable annuity product. We would make available to the county our alliance list, which is about 11,000 different mutual funds. There was a request that I received yesterday afternoon from staff asking about what we would be quoting in regards to investment options in the plan. I did respond to Diane on that, and what I assured her is what we would do is go through the existing investment options with the staff. I think you were concerned about the Morningstar ratings on the funds. We certainly can put together between our alliance list and the existing options, a full list that would be all 4- and 5-star Morningstar ratings without any problem. We could make them all 5-star if you wanted it. You know, we're fund neutral with the alliance list. We can put together any mix of funds that you want. We would just have to go through with you and get your permission to change existing funds, kind of like the mapping process would work if you change providers.
Sir, can I comment on that? You said you put together any mix of funds that we want. Do you include ETFs or no-load funds into that, or is it all classic?
They're all no-load funds. Some of them are, if you purchase them on the outside, if you went directly to a fund family, there would be a load, but they're all load waived through our program, all 11,000 funds. ETFs you don't normally see in a plan like this, but we can certainly look at that option as well.
Thank you.
Any other specific questions in regards to the funds? Okay. I didn't bring my presentation. I didn't know we were going to be asked to re-present again on the same material. Again, all of what I would describe as the bells and whistles, the Roth option, the loan option, the website, all these things are available through all three providers, not a huge amount of discrepancy there. I know one thing that we did offer in our proposal is that we guaranteed a number of service days. We would work with staff to decide how many that was, when they would be. I know some plans prefer those on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. Some staff are off on Mondays and Fridays. We'd be happy to do that. The other thing that we included in our proposal is that we would come up at least quarterly to meet with a committee to make sure that your plan is operating properly. We would make sure that you have an investment policy statement. We would maintain the plan document to keep it current and compliant of law. And so by meeting quarterly with the provider, we can make sure that we can do a fund review for you. We can look at the investment options. If new concepts come out in the marketplace, we can make those available to the plan. But we believe we can do a top-notch job at a very small fee for your plan. And again, we are the largest provider to government services in the United States. Cities, counties, states, we have more state plans than any other record keeper. And so it's our economy scale that really allows us to give you a price that is substantially lower than the other two proposers. Is there anything else I can answer for you?
Questions?
Yes, sir. I've got a question, and it stems from the discussion from 2 weeks ago. And with regard to the CDSC, what is that fee customarily in the industry put into a contract for, to recover what costs?
It typically is put into a contract to recover startup costs for a plan. The contract with Amador County goes back 18, 20 years, And you would not find that in a newer contract. That's why we're willing to remove it from the plan. But it's just a fee that has been in there since Great West became the record keeper of the plan almost 20 years ago.
So it's put into a contract to recover those upfront costs, which I fully anticipated that is your answer. It was in the original contract 18 years ago, but it's, I believe, customary in the industry that that type of fee has a amortization schedule, or it's goes down to zero over a period of years. And I guess my question would be, did the original contract with the county have that in it? Was there a term? And why, after 18 or 20 years, is there still a CDSC in this?
They're done two different ways. What you're describing is the one that says that you put it in place and then it's gone after X number of years from the inception of the contract. Most of the plans that were put into place, not just Great West, but kind of across the industry, the fee was per contribution. And we went through this in the meeting 2 weeks ago. So when a contribution goes into the plan, it has to stay there for a certain number of years. In our case, it's 6 years. So once a contribution has been in the plan for 6 years, then the surrender charge, if you move the plan as a total plan, then it goes away. Again, with our plan and with almost all plans, once a person, a participant, leaves employment with the county, they can do whatever they want with the money. There is no charge. That charge only applies if the county makes a decision to move the entire plan to a different record keeper, and only for contributions that have not been in the plan for 6 years.
So when you say contributions, then every time any employee makes another contribution to a plan administered by Great West, then that rolls that 6 years forward continuously.
If it was a plan that was written 20 years ago, and that's why we stated in the summary here that if the county renews with Great West, we will immediately remove that contingency out of the contract.
Could have been removed years ago.
Probably.
Since you have the contract term 5 years, why do you need a contract term? I mean, I know you have to absorb the Hartford Mass Mutual surrender fees, but they're considerably less than what your surrender fees are. And you've been making quite a bit more money from the employees for the last 17 years because you haven't had because you have those fees in place. So why do you need that contract?
Well, the other thing that we put inside of a five-year contract term in our marketplace is kind of a, they're either 3, 5, or 7, but 5 is kind of the norm. The reason we put a 5-year in there is it is the norm. We also put into the, we will put in the contract, and we described this 2 weeks ago when we were up here, is a termination for cause. I think you, Supervisor Forrester, asked about that. And
I,
so
I also said that that's kind of like a, it's probably easier to get a divorce than it is to terminate for cause.
Well, I mean, basically, if we put contractual guarantees, we'll come up and do a quarterly meeting with the committee. Darren will come up and provide X number of service days a year. If our website is not up and functioning X percent of the time, if we don't get statements mailed out to participants on a timely schedule, then you have a right to terminate. So the only way that it would apply is if we're failing in what we've agreed in writing to do for you as a plan.
The industry standard or industry norm might be 5 years, but the industry norm hasn't been a percent and a half over the last 5 to 10 years either. So, I mean, there's lots of things that could be waived because of exceptions, like looking back at the employees who are getting charged a lot more for administrative fee for your services.
Okay, well, I don't have the ability to contract for a period different than 5 years. I certainly can go back to, you know, my superiors in Denver and ask if they would reduce it or eliminate it, if that's your request. Is that what I'm hearing?
It's not a request right now. I mean, I would have hoped that would have come in already. Not much you can do about it now.
Okay.
With regards to individual contracts, if the, I think in listening to the recording, you had mentioned that upon an employee's no longer working for Amador County, or after a period of years, there is no surrender charge to that employee's account to transfer those monies wherever they want. It's their money.
That is correct.
That's correct. What is that time frame, that number of years?
It's once a deposit has been in the account for 6 years.
Oh, that's that rolling 6 year.
That's what drives the surrender charge currently in the current contract. So what we've agreed to do, if you renew the plan with Great West, is we would remove that piece. So if you move the money, then the charge would not apply.
So what if we didn't renew the plan with Great West, just decided to no longer offer Great West as an alternative investment vehicle for the employees, then, and they're still employed with the county, then their assets would have to remain in that
Correct.
Fund for 6 years,
Correct.
or 6 years from their last contribution date, before they could move it to an alternative investment.
That is correct.
But there would be no charge to another company coming in, whether it be the Hartford or ING or anybody else, unless the county makes the election to move all employees'
correct.
Personal assets to a different investment house.
Okay. So, sir, could you clarify something? Yeah, the statement you made couple of minutes ago, you stated that if an employee is with you, say, 5 or 6 years or 10 years, and he acquires a profit in doing business with your company, and he keeps rolling that money over, he's incurring a cost?
It's only on new contributions. Any money that's in the plan, once a deposit goes in, it goes through a six-year time period.
Right, but so if he keeps contributing money within a six-year period, whether he gets it from the bank or he gets it from the county or wherever he gets it, he keeps putting money into your account, Great West account.
Both the Hartford plan and the Great West plan have that same sort of provision in them. This is indicative of a plan that was written 20 years ago. It's not what we put in the plan today.
So my question, I asked our CAO, do you know how much money your company has made from Amador County?
I don't. I don't know that answer.
On what regularity are these contracts renewed?
For larger plans, typically every 5 years. For my larger county plans, the ones that are $50 million to $300 million, every 5 years. That's the norm.
Has that been the case with Amador?
No.
We don't have the contract in front of
us. Years on the smaller contracts, typically they're what we call an evergreen contract. They're just open-ended on the time period. They don't have a contract term. Typically you start seeing contract terms when plans get above $25 million in the government business. And your plan is about 8, I think, in total. But we're willing to do a contract term on your plan if that's what we've quoted as a 5-year term.
I had pulled both contracts to find out, one, about the exclusivity that Great West had talked about, and I didn't find that. But the two contracts, the contract with Hartford and the contract with Great West, were signed in 1998 under the recommendation of Mr. Kirkpatrick, who was the auditor. Since then, it doesn't look like there's been any modification, no update, no changes to the terms at all. So that's why we believed it was appropriate to bring it back in.
Did they have a term for those CDSCs in 1998?
No.
Did they sail?
No, they didn't disappear.
Okay. Any more questions? All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
If we go on to Great West, or excuse me, Mass Mutual. Sorry. Mass Mutual / the Hartford. Good morning.
Morning. Thank you for having us again today, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. My name is Bob Gleason. I'm with Mass Mutual, and with me is Danelle Dix from Edward Jones, our local service representative for your plan. In terms of comments, you know, three things I guess to keep in mind as to why you want to continue to do business with Mass Mutual. I think we offer a lot, but the three primary things I want to highlight today: number one, the combination of Mass Mutual and Edward Jones and the local service presence. Mass Mutual has been around for about 160 years now. We boast some of the highest ratings that a financial services company could possibly have. We provided that information at the last meeting. AA+, for example, from Standard & Poor's. So very financially sound and solvent, institution. Again, one of the oldest American-based financial institutions, over 160 years in business. That combined with Danelle and her local service presence, I think is a very powerful combination. We can offer you a co-fiduciary service through Mesro Financial. I described this service briefly at the last meeting a couple weeks ago, wherein if you should choose this optional service through Mesro, they would be a co-fiduciary to your plan with regards to the investment options. So if there's ever a question of was that investment a prudent investment option to be in a program, you do have the backup of having Mesro and having their due diligence process in place as someone to rely upon. And again, Mesro, if needed, will defend that process in court if it ever comes to that level. So I think that's a unique thing that we bring to the table. And then number three, flexible program, flexible fund options. There was a little bit of talk about mapping earlier today. Mapping is optional. You can continue with the existing fund lineup if you wish. We're certainly willing to refresh it and replace some of the existing funds. In the proposal that we provided, we gave you a listing of kind of the universe of funds that are available. If Morningstar ratings are important, that's certainly something that we can get for you, and you can certainly select funds that are 4- and 5-star rated funds if that's your desire. The Mesro service also has a suggested fund list that you can go with. So you can rely upon, again, a third party who does investment due diligence. That's their expertise. And you can utilize their service to select the county's fund lineup so that initially meets all of its screens from Mesro, and you have a fully compliant fund lineup with that co-fiduciary provider, Mesro.
Question on that, sir.
Yes.
Gleason. As far as that Mesro Financial Services, are you folks ever putting employees' funds into, like, financial instruments that are owned by Mesro or Mass Mutual or Hartford?
Proprietary funds? That's basically the description of proprietary fund.
Yeah, there are proprietary funds available. Is it required? No. It's not required that you use any proprietary funds. I would have to look at what their suggested list is for Amador County. We don't have that with us today, but that's certainly something we could look at. And if they do have a Hartford fund or a Mass Mutual fund in there, you certainly don't have to accept it if that's a concern of yours.
Well, it's more of a concern for employees, that's all.
Yeah. But Mesro's job really isn't to select a particular fund family. They're selecting funds that they believe are prudent investment choices for a retirement plan, and they're selecting funds, let's face it, they want to reduce their potential liability. They don't want to recommend a fund that could down the road potentially create problems for them. So they're going to select funds that they believe are prudent, sound investments for investors in a retirement plan.
No, sir, I'd hope that's the case, but with the track record of Wall Street, that's not always been true.
Yeah. Certainly a valid concern. About that service, it is available. It is an optional service. And I think it's one that you may want to at least take a look at. One other unique thing about our product is we do have the general account investment. And that is really critical, especially for retirees and those nearing retirement, to have an investment option that simply pays a rate of interest. Right now we're paying 3% on that investment. With the contract going forward, it has a 1% lifetime floor rate, which means it can never drop below 1%. The current rate is set at 3%, and it gives basically a safe place for people to put their money into an interest-bearing option. And earning 3% right now is very attractive if you look at that in relation to other market interest rates out there. Currently, about 10% of the deposits in the Mass Mutual program are in the general account. And the fee that we charge, the 75 basis point fee, is not assessed to the general account. That's just for the variable funds, which is everything else. So the general account simply pays a rate of interest to employees. In terms of, other types of accounts, we don't really have anything else that's going to charge a fee to participants. We're not offering a managed account service. Oftentimes with providers, they'll offer a managed account service. It's a way to earn additional revenue outside of the basis points that are stated up front. In our case, it's 75 basis points on the variable funds, and there are no managed accounts. So that's just something to keep in mind as you're going through this evaluation process. A couple other points in terms of the variable account expenses. As accurately mentioned, they start at 75 basis points. We are willing to lower that when assets in the plan hit $10 million. We'll go down to 50 basis points, and we will certainly review that on an annual basis to see if future breakpoints are warranted. We do have the 7-year CDSC schedule, contingent deferred sales charge schedule in place. We do have to maintain that because we are in a position where, if successful, we're going to be potentially buying out up to about $150,000 of expenses from the Great West assets. So that continuation of the CDSC is just a prudent financial means to make sure that, you know, if we're putting out $150,000 up front, we have to have some assurance that the plan will stay with us for a reasonable period of time if we're going to put that sort of expenditure up front.
What does that transitioning mean? Does it mean actual transitioning where it's going to be over 7 years, it'll be 5% the first year and 4.4% the second year, something like that?
Right, yeah, it declines steadily. It starts at 5% for the first 2 years and declines to zero. So at the end of the seventh year, it's at zero.
I just wanted to make
and
sure.
And it's a little different from what was described by Brian at Great West. Ours isn't on every deposit. It's based on someone's initial enrollment date with our program. So an individual who enrolled, with the Hartford, say, back in 2001, it's far exceeded the seven-year period. There is no CDSC applied to that person, even if they're putting in payroll deposits today. So ours is not based upon each contribution, but rather it's based upon the initial enrollment for that individual. It's a seven-year time clock.
I wanted to make sure your definition of transitioning was the same as what we think it is.
Oh, I'm sorry. By transition, meaning the assets from Great West, if we're successful, would roll into the Mass Mutual program. We had agreed to absorb up to $150,000 or $153,000 of surrender charges to make those account holders whole.
Well, sir, I'm going to pose the same question as Brian from Great West answered. A CDSD is typically to cover costs for startup enrollment of investors, employees and investors and so forth. You've been here since 1998.
Yes.
Why do you propose to continue to maintain the CDSD, and I know your answer was, well, if we have to incur this $150,000 buyout of Great West assets, but you said you'd want to be here, have some assurances that you'd be here for a certain amount of time. Well, you've got two provisions to keep you here for a certain amount of time in your proposal, both a 5-year contract and a CDSD. Which do you need to be assured that you'll be here for a long period of time, and would you be able to waive the CDSD if we were to take the proviso, if we were to grant the opportunity for your firm to continue to be a provider of 457 plan here, but that you were not in a position to have to buy out Great West's assets?
Yeah, a couple of points on that with regard to the CDSC. We did start in 1998, and when we started on, we were the second provider, so we started with zero assets, and we slowly built up over time to where today we have about $3 million. And our CDSC, again, it works a little differently. So for that individual that enrolled in 1998, that person has no CDSC attached to their account. So by the nature of how we, I guess, do our CDSC or enforce our CDSC, it's not based on every deposit going in. So someone who enrolled in 1998, their CDSC went to zero in 2005. They haven't had one. So when you look at a plan level and you're saying we're going to move all of the assets in the plan on a given date from MassMutual to another company. The only people that are assessed a CDSC are people that have enrolled within the last seven-year period. So it's not something that never ends for people. After a seven-year period, on an individual basis, it does end. In terms of today, how it works, if somebody retires and they want to take money out of their account, even if they enrolled, say, 3 or 4 years ago, the CDSC is waived. We don't charge the CDSC due to someone who retires. It is benefit sensitive. Even if someone wants to just, you know, roll their money to an IRA after they retire, we don't charge the CDSC. The only time it's charged is if assets move from then Hartford or now MassMutual to another 457 plan provider inside the same retirement plan. So
does that matter? Is that matter if it's after seven year?
After 7 years, it's gone.
Okay, I thought that's what you said.
So there's only one CDSC, and that's charged to the individual's accounts. There's no CDSC to us as the fiduciary provider of this plan for the employees.
If you were to move a plan, there would be a CDSC. It would be calculated based upon each individual who enrolled within the 7 year window. And then if you are moving those assets, I guess it would be your decision to instruct us, yeah, go ahead and take it out of each individual's account, or don't apply that CDSC. We're going to send you a check. We're going to do whatever. We're going to cover it. So send those accounts over in whole.
Okay. You should probably speak in the mic if you're going to be...
Come on up. We just need to catch on the mic.
Just for clarification, about two-thirds of the people, we gave them a list, just like Hartford did, a listing every single participant in the plan. Some had CDs, some didn't. About two-thirds of the Great West participants didn't have CDSCs either. But as it was described here, you've got two choices. Either charge each individual person their exact CDSC, some would get charged, some wouldn't, or roll it up into a single charge and either absorb it or have them pay it.
But in your case, all would be charged a CDSC if they've made contributions into their plan of late.
But two-thirds of the people have not made a contribution. Many of the participants in the plan are retirees, so there is no CDSC charge on about two-thirds of the participants that are with Great West. That charge is from just about one-third of the participants.
Okay. Let's get back to Mr. Gleason. I don't want to cut in his time too much. Daniel.
So I just want to make clear on the CDSC, did I answer your questions on that?
Yes, sir.
Yes. So again, that's about it. I guess just to sum up, the three main reasons I think it's beneficial for Amador County and your employees to do business with us is you're doing business with a very sound 160-year-old, very financially sound company with the benefit of a local service representative in Donnell. The Mesereau co-fiduciary service is available, and the flexibility that we give you around the product and the fee structure as competitive as we can make it. I, of course, will be available to meet with the committee on a quarterly basis or whatever frequency they choose to meet. And I think Donnell wanted to say a couple of words as well.
Quick question, if you don't mind.
Yes.
You know, there's been some concern over the giving advice through, I don't know if it's MassMutual or maybe from Danielle Dix, and there were some concern with the fiduciary relationship. Now, what you're saying is that Mesereau Financial Services would provide the fiduciary oversight, so that wouldn't be an issue as far as, you know, are you improperly, I guess, giving financial advice?
Let me clear on Mesereau. That is a plan level service, so it's not a participant-level service. So a participant is never going to meet with a representative of Mesereau or see a Mesereau report or anything of that nature. Mesereau is something that is only at the plan sponsor level, so that would be at your level or the plan committee at their level in terms of selecting an initial lineup that meets all of Mesereau's standards, in terms of the ongoing monitoring and review process that Mesereau has in place. They'll send a quarterly report to the county, and that's something that's viewed at the plan level only. So okay. I guess the best way to view Mesro is that they're kind of the safety net out there, a third party doing investment due diligence to make sure that the fund lineup
is that the investment proper. Options are sound.
Yes.
Yes. So I guess I still have that question then. That was brought up as far as being a possible issue as maybe putting the county at risk, and I don't know who could address that question. Okay.
Okay, good morning. My name is Danelle Dix, and I'm a financial advisor and certified financial planner with Edward Jones here in Jackson. And just to clarify the relationship, what I'm doing today is, and last board meeting, is bringing to you a vendor that you would have a contract with, nothing to do with Edward Jones. I, through as a financial advisor with Edward Jones, would be the local service representative, as I always have been. What clients do with me through Edward Jones is totally separate of what the county's relationship is with Mass Mutual. So when I meet with a client or a county employee, I open them up a Hartford 457 account. I also open them up an Edward Jones account, which was required under the rules of FCC as a separate financial institution, being Edward Jones. So I have an Edward Jones account with every 457 client, and through which I can view their 457 holdings. The Edward Jones account, for all intents and purposes, is empty, but they have become my client, which is legally what I have to do at that point. Anything we do from that point forward, whether they choose to do financial planning with me, they choose to do life insurance or whatever it might be, falls under the Edward Jones umbrella and has nothing to do with the Mass Mutual umbrella. So there's no liability on the part of the county for what we're doing as an Edward Jones client. Is that
okay? That answers the question.
Only payroll contributions or payroll deductions for pre-tax contributions to the 457 plan.
Correct.
Fall under the fiduciary capacity.
And I just wanted to say, you know, I left the last meeting giving some ponderance to the issue of, you know, looking back over the last 8 years and asking myself, because it's the way I do business, have I done right by the county employees? Have I really done what I should have been doing for the county employees over the last 8 years? And, you know, my answer to that is yes. Although it may not be in the light that Diane is aware of or any of you are aware of, but I certainly have brought Bob to Joe Lowe, Lisa Gavey, Mary Escamilla many, many times over the last several years, and as well as Diane, trying to make things better. You know, we've proposed employee education. We've proposed to lower the fees and be an exclusive provider twice. I have met with employees regularly here at the county. I've done what I needed to do to review their portfolios with them. I've been proactive with them. I meet with them in my office for many, many hours doing lots of retirement reviews, retirement projections, helping them with really anything that falls under the umbrella of my license, which is quite extensive. So I think I've done really well for the employees, and I've gotten great feedback from them. I have testimonials in my office that I wasn't able to present last time. People have written me emails. People are anxious to hear what the outcome of this is because, you know, frankly, a lot of people don't want to lose me as their advisor. So I don't know if any of you are really aware of all of the things that I have done, but just suffice it to say that being a local person, I think I've gone above and beyond, and I think that people are very happy with what I have provided, and I can honestly look back over the last 8 years and said I've done a really good job for people here. Can it be better? Sure. I can do employee education. I can be here more often. I'll do whatever the county wants me to do. But to this date, much of what I've proposed has been met with some resistance for whatever reason. And we've also presented the Mesro idea twice to the county and a loan provision at least once. And none of the time has any of it ever been taken advantage of. Yes.
You know, you said you met with the county two times as far as like being a sole provider and possibly lowering fees. Who did you meet with?
Joe Lowe, and I think Lisa Gaby was in those meetings, my person. But Joe was pretty much in charge of it.
How recent was that?
On the calendar that I gave you guys. I don't have it with me, but before Diane came was the last time.
You know, Ms. Dix, it given your earlier statements about how you keep a separation by or fulfill your requirements by having a Edward Jones account and a MassMutual account, it appears to me that you run little risk of losing county employees as your clients if you've already got those two accounts established. I mean, if it came to pass that MassMutual was no longer part of the county's offerings of 457 plans, you still have the opportunity to administer those accounts, continue them to be invested until there's no longer a CDSC, and then advise your county employees and county employee clients.
That would be the case if the assets were left with MassMutual. Mm-hmm. But if they were transferred to another provider, I would lose. That their Edward Jones account would then become empty, and they would no longer be a client.
So on the topic of Mr. Onetto's earlier comments about just the breadth of investment options and so forth, I was looking through your proposal as well, and page 29 talked about your core menus, Hartford's core menus, and how the investment options on the core menu must also meet certain revenue and share class requirements. I've been in a managed money account for probably the last 11 or 12 years myself, and my understanding of the share class requirements and or the fees that go with them is that a Class A share typically has a front-end sales charge, a commission, if you will, to the broker that sells that Class A share, usually around 5% or so. Am I correct there?
That would be typical, but in our program, much like Brian had indicated with Great West, there are no front-end fees or loads assessed. Even if that fund would have one purchased outside of the deferred comp plan, inside of the deferred compensation plan, there are no front-end charges or loads.
So the fact that this whole list of investment options that you put in your proposal here, the great bulk of them are all Class A shares, you're saying that there's no sales commission deducted when an employee purchases those funds through the 457 plan?
That's correct.
Okay. And then lastly, on the program and administrative charges, that was page 75 of your presentation. It says we may increase a program and admin charge. In no event will the charge exceed 1.25% in consideration of plan assumptions. The plan will be at 0.75 or 75 basis points. Do you have any provisions in that contract that speak contrary to this statement that says we can increase the administrative charge?
That is in there because we are providing a proposal. We're given some facts in terms of the assets that would come over. But until that actually happens, you know, we're basically providing a good faith proposal that says if everything goes as advertised, you're going to be charged 0.75. If at the end of the day we're selected and the assets from Great West don't roll over or only a small portion roll over, we're saying we have the ability to raise that 0.75, but in no event higher than 1.25. Certainly not our intention. If everything goes as planned, your charge will be 0.75. When assets hit 10 million, it will be reduced as soon as administratively possible to 0.5.
Sure doesn't seem like a real competitive proposal when you reserve the right to increase the admin fee to 1.25% if you don't have all the assets move over. You require a 5-year contract and a 5% CDSD. That doesn't strike me as a competitive
proposal. Well, again, the addition over and above the 0.75 would only be if things do not follow the expectation. So provided that things go as expected, we're not going to be charging in excess of what we're quoting.
You don't bring Great West assets over to Hartford, you would actually be better off leaving the contract the way it is now.
Well,
that's
yeah.
Where the fees are now.
I'm just looking. I've been paying 0.65% for the last 11 years on assets less than either of you control here. So I'm looking at competitive pricing.
Any other questions?
other comments? Thank you. And ING.
Look at the clock. It's still morning. Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Mr. Chair, Board. My name is Gary Bogine. I'm with ING, and Mark Blantley is here our local representative. Basically, you've all seen our proposal. We would love to work with the county as your 457 provider. To do so, we would unencumber your issues with your current providers. We would pay off almost $200,000 of surrender charges and have a zero-year contract, and basically which allows the county to walk away day two. And hopefully that's not the case, because I probably wouldn't have a job too much after that, because ING wouldn't like that offer, that deal. But I don't think that's going to be the case. Our average tenure with our plan sponsors is over 20 years, so we feel real good about our ability to be a long-term partner with the county. And one of the things that we would do is one of the questions that was asked by the county administrator is the about mapping of assets and moving funds. We would start with a blank slate of mutual funds and look at what your participants are invested in now, and then come up with similar or like type funds that are we feel are either lower cost or better performing. And then the people would have their money moved into or mapped over into funds that are, for all intents and purposes, better funds. It may not be all of them are going to be changed. And in many cases, some of the funds that are today, I think, that you have might be the same ones we use. But we have access to 11,000 funds, and we have no predisposition to any of them. We would choose the best fund menu for your participants. I really think that's kind of it. We do monitor those funds going forward. That's another thing I wanted to mention, is that we review 11,000 funds every quarter, and we give them a scorecard rating, and it looks at things like performance and fees and Morningstar rating, manager tenure, rolling 24-month performance. There's just a whole style consistency, a whole variety of metrics that get put together to come up with a score. And so we report that back, and when funds are not performing well, they would go on a watch list. And at some point, if they don't get better, then we would recommend, or we would work with you to come up with a replacement fund, and then participants are moved over. And it doesn't, when people are mapped from one fund to the next or moved from a fund, there's not a cost involved. So, if the same fund, and this doesn't happen, but, theoretically a fund could be replaced, 3 years in a row or something, it's not negative per se.
Again, no Class A sales charges in your
offerings. No, and the reason that works that way, sir, is that when companies like ING or Great West or Hartford invest in those Class A type funds, those fund companies treat us like one giant account. So if you went to a fund and you said, I've got, $10 million, they would give you that Class A, or a fund company would give you that Class A at no sales charge, because that would be the highest break point, and that's how it works. They treat one employee just as part of ING or part of any company like that. Did you want to say anything?
I believe we have addressed several issues for us. We're kind of like the elephant in the room, because we brought this to not only Diane and to the board as when we first started, was requested to take a look at the 457 plan and how it worked. And then when we've seen the fees that were so high and that the basic contracts were outdated, I knew we could do better, and that's why I brought in ING. We sent a recent letter to Supervisor Forrester, and I don't know if they got in your packets or not, that basically gives the timelines of events. This isn't something that we just came up with. We've been working towards this for over a year's period of time. And I believe that I'm kind of proud of ING saying, hey, we'll take all the risk. we're not going to put a contingent sales deferral charge, whether it's 6 years, 15 years, there's years go back and forth. We're just going to take the risk of the $200,000 right now. And as Gary said, in the next week, if you said, okay, we don't want ING anymore, we can't come back to the county and say, hey, we want the $200,000 back. We've kind of put our money where our mouth is on that. So I'm looking forward to working with counties. I've been in this county for over 30 years. I've had a financial business for over 25 years. I'm not new to this business. I've been here for a long time. I thank you.
Questions? At this time, we'll take public comments. Anyone in the employee, anyone from the public would like to speak on this issue? None. Back to the board.
Sounded like our CAO wanted to more research some things more fully.
I would like to answer some of the questions that have been posed to me before we go forward, and I hate to bring everybody back again, but I'd like to get more buy-in from some of the employees before we do this so that the feeling that it's being rammed down their throats is not so pervasive.
And that's a comment I was going to make, Chuck. One issue is that how can we get more feedback from the employees? I've had a few employees talk to me. It's surprising how little comment we've had.
Well, I've been meeting with SEIU a number of times. I've talked to the president at length numerous times about this item, and I met with the new representative and a couple other people yesterday, and that's where they brought up the questions, and I'd like to get answers for them.
I kind of agree with that. I've heard comments from employees too, and I've heard comments from employees saying that they hope that they can still do business with more than one account, and et cetera, et cetera. And also, too, is I told them of my experience with Great West, and so I think that would be a good decision if this board were to take your advice and to bring this back at a later date when we get some more feedback from our employees.
Well, the contracts are not up. They are, they do perpetuate, so there is no time limit on this, no restraint. But I do believe that if we can improve things for the employees, we'd be better off.
But, you know, improving may mean going to one provider to get the lower fees. As you and I have talked, there are many counties and many cities out there that only have one provider, and they do it to get the economies of scale so that they can get the lower fees for the employees. I guess everybody wants to have their person they deal with, but in the big picture, the only way you're going to get the lower fees is by having one provider. And it's an industry norm that we've looked at different cities and counties. They can go with one provider. Everybody wants their person, but you got to look at how you're going to save the most money for the employees so that in 20 and 30 years they have the biggest nest egg to live off of in retirement.
I would agree with that, and I would follow up by also saying that any of the assets that are currently invested with any of our current 457 providers can stay with those 457 plans, and they can continue to manage that money as they see fit through those choice of investment vehicles if they don't want to incur a CDSC for the sake of moving it to a potential new provider of that service by the county. There's no need to have to incur that cost if you as an individual don't want to.
I think maybe some of them, all proponents here might be able to address that. I think the problem is some of the proposals being put forth, if they don't get the whole enchilada, that comes off the table. And then the rates would change. So if they don't get all accounts from everybody, then these proposals we're seeing will be changed. So that's not quite available.
Well, that's why we're That's why we heard the three proposals, to determine which one is the best one to go.
Well, sure. What I'm saying, though, is Supervisor Plaz was saying that the people that have money in existing accounts could leave it there and just all the new business would transfer over to whoever the exclusive provider is. What I'm saying is the exclusive providers, I don't think, will offer the same terms that they're offering if they get all the business, including the old accounts.
That's correct, in my view.
Well, I don't know. I mean, your investments are out there no matter what the provider is. You can pretty much find a very similar, if not dead-on, investment with another provider.
That's true. I did have one of the county employees spoke to me about the issue, and you know, they just like some investment advice they're getting from Ms. Dix was all, and that's why they like that. And that's where I have an issue, saying some people saying, and this person said, well, she didn't really mind paying more. She liked the advice she got. And I was thinking, well, could she still get that advice even if we switch plans? But it sounds like it'd still be in a 457 plan. And from what Ms. Dix said, she wouldn't be able to get advice on that plan if it switches to a different carrier provider. So that's what's kind of
an issue. I've got that same comment. Employees, so.
I will say this on behalf of Daniel Dix, that the comments that I've received, and being a past county employee, I've always heard good things about the service that she provides to her accountants.
Yes. Something else I would like to know is Ms. Dix, since she spoke with Joe Lowe and Lisa Gaby, I'd like to track that down a little bit closer to see what those dates were, what was said, if possible. I know it's probably in the past. Because one real issue I have with, ING's a new kid in the block, so I can't throw any rocks at them for something they've done. I do thank them for bringing it forth, the issue as far as the fees that are being charged. But I have a little issue with Great West, with Mass Mutual, or Hartford. Yes, the plans were done a long time ago. Yes, that was the fees that were in place, 1998. But I think in doing your fiduciary duties, when those fees, industry standards changed, I think it should have been made very clear to the county employees and to the county that, hey, this contract you have, this old, outdated, you're paying too much money. That's why people have financial advisors. That's why there's all fiduciary relationships and duties that are laid out. And sometimes there's a gray zone. I think it's a gray zone there, but I think it would have behooved them to have done so. And you probably wouldn't see us sitting here today trying to figure out where we're going.
I agree 100%. That's something that if somebody is expressing that they have a responsibility to provide the best possible advice to employees, then they should be providing the best possible advice and making the best possible proposals to the provider of that plan, the employer as well.
Chuck, my only issue is, how long are we going to wait? We've been two times now that we've had the providers here. The employees have had a month to talk to any board member, talk to their union rep, which they have done. So we got that point of view. We can keep putting it off, I guess, but I don't know if we're going to get a whole lot more clear picture.
I understand, and it's a pleasure of the board. If you're ready to make a decision, you can make it now.
Well, this also, in my mind, begs the question, if we just stay the same, what are you guys going to do for us, our two providers? So maybe they can think about that question and get back to us, if anything.
That's probably a good idea, Supervisor Boitano. Something I'd like to hear from ING, too, is I know I did talk to him and said, hey, you know, if we end up leaving things as they are and don't go with a sole provider, would they still be interested? It sounded like they would not be at the proposal I'm making. I understand that there's charges they're paying, but I'd also like to see what they would, if they'd be interested in being a third option, and if they did.
Yeah, they need the whole thing, or?
No, we're not. We don't need the whole thing. It's just we wouldn't be
interested in the third provider.
Well, it's not that we wouldn't be interested. It wouldn't be to your participants or your employees' best interest. We'd be more expensive than the other two because they have a lot of assets. and it would be...
You mean assets already in the plan?
Correct.
From the county?
Yeah, the providers could charge a lot lower, and even the current charges would expect them to come down going forward, and they should at 125 basis points and 75 basis points. They probably would go down. We couldn't compete with that, and it wouldn't be to your employees' best interest to try to get them to compete with that.
You'd be like the third person on a date almost. So.
Yeah. Get your mind out. Yeah, I'm sorry. We'd love to be a part of the – I mean, we would love to do that, but it's just – it wouldn't be their best interest, and it would be
– So is it safe to say that from all three providers and proposed providers here that Mr. – or Supervisor Onetto's comments that this proposal that you brought forth is predicated on having the whole enchilada –
Well, ours is your proposal.
As are the other two also.
Yeah, okay, that's what I was just looking to confirm that.
We would probably be willing to be a second provider if one of your two providers were gone, because then we would have some of the assets, but so that we could bring our price and be competitive.
Mm-hmm.
But starting from zero, it wouldn't be competitive.
Right.
Then back to my original question. You know, if we still kept two providers, what would you all offer us at that point?
Now, the problem is if we dilute the pool too much,
I understand, Richard, but
economies of scale for the employees.
The question begs to be answered. There's employees that are happy with what they have, and they don't want to make a change. And I don't want to jam something down their throat that they don't want.
Well, I didn't hear all the employees say they were happy with what they got. We heard from
everyone who's talked to me was, so.
We heard from very few employees.
And how many did you hear from?
My point is I'd rather get the employees something that is a better deal for them.
Well, let's hear what the deal would be for them if we kept the way we were right now. I agree with Boitano, or Supervisor Boitano.
Well, thank you.
that question begs answering. And also the fact that we haven't reviewed the contract. You know, we're discussing all these proposals, but we haven't seen the provisions of these contracts that we're operating under, and we're governed, and as are our employees, by the terms of those contracts. So it seems that we would need to see those before we vote on any particular direction or not.
I mean, I'd hate 10 years down the road, somebody's running to me at the store saying, you really screwed up my retirement when you do a change, you know. Might not happen.
Well, just remember, some employees who probably haven't been talked to in 17 years have probably been talked to in the last 3 weeks. So that may be impacting the way they feel too.
You know, on that there was
positive.
There was that survey where they talked to like the SEIU employees and some other ones. And I'm not picking favorites, just what that survey came out. It seemed like MassMutual seemed to have a fairer satisfaction rate. Sorry, Great West, but it seemed like that survey didn't come back too positive towards you folks. So that's something I'm considering too.
I'd rather not take comments from the floor. If you want to come up to the mic, and so just so we have everything on record, as you heard, we had one supervisor that did review the tape before. So.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to see the survey, and we at Great West were welcome or happy to come back with any proposal. We just need specifically sole provider, keep what you have. Can you give us a better price? I mean, we'll come back with some new numbers for you. You just have to tell us exactly what you want us to propose so that it's very clear.
Okay, thank you. What I'm hearing is that one supervisor, I would guess others, want the contracts reviewed.
Where's Diane? Diane's right there.
There you are. Diane, at least I'm hearing that the supervisors want the contracts reviewed to look at the terms and other things in there. Any other direction as far as employees or?
I don't believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but there are no draft proposed contracts. I mean, we would tentatively select a provider, and then a contract would be drafted, and we'd look at it and go through it. I don't believe there's any formal proposed draft contract from any of the providers.
We obviously have two existing contracts. Yes. To me, that would be valuable information to ask further questions as to, okay, where can you move from the current terms and conditions to if we choose to,
keep
to Supervisor Portano's point, to stay, remain the same and keep two providers?
Yeah, I'd like the answer to that. Not that I, fully intend to do that, but I'd like to look at it at least. Get it all on the table.
So that's one thing I'm hearing. Is there anything else, Supervisor?
Yes, I think this Mr. Beetz asked if there's, as far as the questionnaire, would those results be available to him and
yes.
How's then?
Yeah, Human Resources has those.
And you know what? I think it might behoove the county to send that out again, because I think it's been almost a little bit of a sleeper issue, and a lot of times people are kind of not paying attention, and it takes a while for them to get on board and say, hey, what's going on, and, you know, it is my retirement plan, and you might get more feedback. Because I think the employees are starting to talk a little more and get a little more interested in what's happening.
Can I recommend one thing rather than just a survey? A survey might be great, but an actual employee meeting or a series of employee meetings to go over the same information that we've seen today, the apples-to-apples comparison, might be good for employees to see, and I'm afraid they're not going to see that unless you actually go through at least a couple meetings to give them the information.
And also, one more thing. The gentleman from Great West, I think Mr. Beetz is it, said something I thought was kind of interesting just now. It almost sounded like you hadn't put forth a sole provider type offer.
Well, that's what his offer is, I think.
I thought it was. Yeah. But then he said
our offer is a sole provider offer, and I'm saying that it would be different if we were a co-provider. I'm not the pricing
person. I misheard you then, I guess, or you misspoke.
Yes, the zero price is for a sole provider.
Okay.
And I'm assuming, Mr. Gleason, the same thing with MassMutual?
Same thing, Mr. Chairman. We'd be happy to relook at it if it remains the same, but it would be different than the exclusive offer that we put forth.
Okay.
Okay, so is that direction clear to staff? And is the board agreeable to review the contracts and to potentially put together at least one, possibly two meetings for employees to attend?
On these meetings, are you requesting that these three proposers come make a presentation to a group of employees?
I was not. I don't know if we want to do that.
Well, I'm trying to figure out how you envision these meetings.
By having the summary of the provider proposals.
Okay.
And having Chuck and Diane be the people that would lead those.
So this, basically?
So employees know what they're getting.
You know,
I
wonder maybe if you shouldn't make it available to these gentlemen if they want to go to that meeting and talk to employees, that it's available. I don't know how much energy and time they want to put into it, but it's probably,
I think for that kind of money, they'd be happy to.
I think they would. It might help employees make a decision.
Well, you're going to make it from an hour meeting into a three-hour meeting, I think.
Well, you're talking at some real dollars on the table here, so.
My preference would be to keep it simple and give the information, contact information to employees if they wanted to contact the providers.
Would that also be the contracts, the existing contracts, if the employees want to see it?
If they can see whatever they want to see. If they requested, I'd like to keep this somewhat simple and just have the Chuck and Diane do the presentation.
Well, we have the providers come. I nominate you to be the moderator of the meeting. You can get it done in an hour.
Nice.
I could, but
I think Richard, this summary is so brief that to take that, maybe expound on it a little bit for employees' information purposes as to what a loan option is and what a Roth option is, and send that out in the form of this survey to all employees. Say, here's three providers. here's what it'll cost you in terms of charges out of your investment contributions, and here's the options that they provide. What's your take?
And then, two, to add on the staying the same.
Yeah, and add the comparison to continuing to have two providers, our existing two, or going to a sole source provider.
Yep. And to catch all the employees, I think we're going to have a series of these, because employees being all over the county, you're probably going to have maybe even 2 days of a couple sessions each day to catch all the employees. Some are going to have to be given time off to be able to hear the information.
You know, it might be helpful that if you have information, can we send out an email with that attached saying, hey, here's some information? Because it's really...
That was my point, yeah.
Yes.
You're going to have to do more in email, too. Cause
no, I mean, email, yeah, ahead of time. So have information, look at it, think about it. And
Ryan?
Not everybody has Ryan, a computer that works for the county.
Are you getting the picture here that you're going to have to put together off of this provider proposal summary? You're going to have to put together more information, supplement it so that employees will be more aware of what's included in some of these areas?
Diane Blanc. Yes, and what I can do is I can work with all three vendors and make sure I have everything accurate before presenting it to the employees.
You know, it might be really as be good to see is like Hartford Mass Mutual is talking about having Mesro, which is like a third-party oversight, basically, or second-party oversight. I'd be kind of curious if ING and Great West have something similar.
The problem is going to be in getting information out to all employees. Is this is quite complicated, and there's many.
We had a lot of questions.
Yes. And this is how I believe this sort of came about, is because no one here at the county is an expert in this, unfortunately. And I think that's why the contracts ended up writing out as long as they did. No one was really paying attention. But now that we're paying attention, all these questions are being asked, and we need to get to the bottom of them. So I'll do what's ever necessary. I think the employees do feel that they want to be more involved in the decision process. Money writing in this decision.
A lot of money.
No.
Yeah. So is the direction, Chuck and Brian, is the direction clear to you then? I want to make sure before we leave this.
You can make a presentation to us.
There is mud. The what did you decide? You want us to send something out via email or have the meetings? That was being talked about.
I think a little of both there, Chuck.
Okay.
Be putting information together, send the information out ahead of time, and then meet with the employees and whatever schedule you determine to have, whether it be two meetings, three meetings, four meetings, so that it's opportune for the employees to come in and listen to the presentation. You'll also be going through the existing contracts that we have to, so we're well aware of what the boundaries are within them.
This be limited to employees that are participants in 457 plans? Imagine that's a relatively small percentage of the total number of employees we have.
Are you asking, do you want to limit it to those employees? Probably not, because that's part of our plan, is to open it up to all employees, those who
want everyone.
Perhaps haven't known, you know,
but,
how.
But this whole discussion is about changing from what our current status is to potentially a sole source provider, and somebody that's not participating in a plan really has no way in.
I'd see, I'd agree with that, yeah. As long as
unless they've been holding off waiting for something else. See, when I first started here, I had several members and several employees coming to me saying, can you please look at our 457 plan because the fees are too high? Some of them said, we get great service, but the fees are too high. And this was 2.5 years ago when I first started, and I hadn't had time to look into it.
Yeah. In other words, they're waiting for you to go to sole provider, possibly, to lower the fees.
Possibly.
All right, I think we have enough direction. We need to move off this issue now. I would request that this issue not come back to the first meeting in July, because I'm going to be gone for the last 2 weeks of June. I'd like to be a full board discussion on it.
I will be missing the first meeting in July, but you can proceed without me.
We can bring it back whenever the full board's back together and Chuck's back.
All right, board members, any other discussion?
So proposals as had been proposed to, for sole source providers from each entity, proposals from our two existing entities as to how much better they can do if things stay the same, and then a general synopsis and summary of all the options available to employees. And that goes out as an informational email to everybody with scheduling appointments or meetings to follow up.
Yeah, what I don't like is the question you brought up is, okay, no, I don't like the answer I got. The question you brought up is, okay, so if everybody doesn't move over, the company has the option of implementing a higher fee.
And what they proposed here today.
They proposed here, yeah.
If we don't dictate that everybody move over. Yeah, that's the problem with it. I mean, it's their money. It's the employees' money. They shouldn't have to be forced to move just simply because we're no longer offering that providing. If they're happy with it, leave it there.
Right.
And that should maybe be made clear to them, you know, this rate is contingent upon everybody moving over. If you have 99 out of 100 say, hey, they'd like to move, and one says no, I think it'd probably be our duty to move. But if you have a 60-40, whatever, I don't see us moving.
Okay. With that, I think we have clear enough direction. And we're going to take about a 10-minute break and then come back and go on to our second item on the agenda.
Oh, no.
Down for the count.